So did you turn the phone off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So people need to turn the phones off too, please. Y'all hooked up?
Yes. Okay. I will. I've never had too many people tell me to speak up, but I guess I gotta start doing that.
We have to watch how loud we get in your house. For the recording.
Well, welcome to everybody out there in Ustream land and everybody here. We've never had... There's been times when it was just Rex and Liz and Diane and I. But we have a lot of people watching through the web. And so the show must go on, right?
Yeah.
But welcome, everybody. Glad to have you here. And Kay is here with us, and she's going to be sharing tomorrow. And also, did you bring your piano? She brought her piano. She has a beautiful voice. I'd never heard her before, but it was just wonderful. So, and they sing some good songs, songs that are about who we are,
yeah,
instead of hymns about something that's going to happen tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
And so we're grateful for that, and we'll be excited to hear some new songs, some of us who haven't heard her before. And so... I shared in Portland a message called The Mystery of Faith, and if you haven't heard that message, hopefully you'll understand what we're talking about tonight, but it's a continuation of that same theme, and so the title of the series is The Mystery of Faith, and last time we were together here in August, the title was A Consciousness of Separation. And it's very important. Matter of fact, it's so important to understand a consciousness of separation, because if you don't know that, if you don't really know that intimately, you'll never get to a consciousness of righteousness, because you'll find yourself in judgment of the appearances of your world. And Jesus said many times, he says, I'm going to leave the world and go to my Father. And so we need to know what that means. We need to understand who the Father is. And we've been so consumed with a God out there that we don't really know the difference in an intimate way. So I shared a message called The Serpent on the Pole, and it didn't get a lot of likes on Facebook. Because when we think of the father of lies, who has many names, Legion, the serpent, the devil, Satan, Jesus turned to his best friend, his only friend at the time, and said, "Get behind me, Satan." And just before that, he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Well, why don't you make up your mind? But he identified who Satan was. He says, "Thou art for the things of man, not for the things of God." And so the things of man is your only enemy is yourself. It's your only enemy. Your only enemy is yourself. And so the person that you think you are is your enemy. The person you really are has none. And it's so important then what? To know your enemy. If you don't know him and you don't know when he's speaking, how will you know the difference between what you really are and what you think you are? And so I want to start out with a verse that I've used, you know, for 5 years. And it's a very key verse because it says in Proverbs 27:20, it says, "Hell and destruction are never full, because the eyes of man are never satisfied." Now, what are the eyes of man? What do the eyes of man do? Continually judging for something more in the world, and we're judging for peace in the world. And it's our judgment for peace in the world that's the cause of war, because everybody thinks they've got a cause. And when we go outside our kingdom, which we're going to talk about intimately tonight, we instantly enter into this realm of hell and destruction. Kay shared with us out at the lake, she called it the plague. I interpreted it the playground, but it's not very much fun. But she called it the plague ground. Was it the playground? The plague realm. Plague realm. It was that southern accent threw me off. Now, what the playground is simply taking all the cares of the world on your shoulders. See? The cares of the world. It was said in the parable that the truth comes and it's wonderful and beautiful, and the cares of this world come and steal it away. And so we really need to know the difference between a consciousness of separation and a consciousness of righteousness. So have we experienced a life of real contentment and satisfaction, where we're continually thankful in all things, because that's what it says the will of the Father is? How long have we experienced it, for any length of time? And there's the question you need to answer yourself. And many times when I suffered myself going through things, I would say, "Father, what's my problem?" And every time he said, "It's your judgment." Every time he came back and said, "It's your judgment." And it had moved in a way where it was two or three layers deep. And what I was dealing with on the surface wasn't the problem. I had to go back and ask myself, where is it that I'm not satisfied? Where is it that I'm not thankful? What is it that I'm not thankful for? And I had moved on to the effects and circumstances surrounding that so much, which you're trying to fix things, you're trying to change things. And instantly, you have a feeling that you need to call out to a God. And there's no such God. So when we're in this place that's not satisfied, we paint a picture in our mind of somewhere else. When we watch the news, we paint a picture in our mind. We travel in our mind to a world that could be thousands of miles away, don't we? Read the paper. And here's where it tricks us up, is we have compassion for that picture that we paint. Oh, this isn't good. This is happening here and this is happening there. And we then have compassion. Well, what's wrong with having compassion? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's not your world. It's not your world. It's a world outside of yourself. And Jesus said, I've got to leave that world and go to my Father. And I'm going to talk to you about how can we do that, right? How do we do that? And I'm going to share with you some tools and words that will help you catch yourself when you leave your kingdom. Because it's all inside you. There isn't anything outside you that's your kingdom. The kingdom doesn't come by observation. He said it's within you. The habitation of God is within you. You are that habitation. And you can't be somewhere else. But we travel all the time in our minds, following the news. And if we had no TV or a computer or a cell phone, would we be lost? I don't know what I'd do if I went into work and there wasn't a computer. But I remember a time when we did everything by paper. So, if we had no TV or computer or phones, would we be lost? Or is it the other way around?
Yeah.
Or is it the other way around? Because we become lost as we travel into an illusionary world, as we project this world on the canvas of our mind. It becomes real to us. And we begin to give commentary on it, of what we see that's right or wrong. We begin to judge by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sometimes unaware. Because compassion is not a good thing for what's outside your kingdom. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Why did he say that to that guy? It was a terrible statement. Because he said, I want to follow you. And what did he say time after time? Drop everything. Drop your nets. Leave everything and follow me. What is that to thee? What is it to thee? You can only be where you are. And where is that? Where is that? Where is that? Right here. You can't be anywhere else, but we travel at the drop of a hat. You know, if you can't listen to that stuff, if you can't read the paper, if you aren't operating at a level of faith where you can watch that stuff and then turn it off and walk away, you have no business watching it. You don't. You shouldn't be watching it. So where would you be if you didn't have all these forms of communication that broadcast? I mean, every night the world news. There's one little snippet at the end that's enjoyable. The rest of it says tornadoes here and storms there and wars here and wars there. And it says there'll always be wars and rumors of war in the kingdom of appearances. Always. But we as a people can never leave our world until we come into our Father, who is your life. There isn't another life. There's only one life, and it's that Father in you, and there's nothing else. There's nothing else in you. There isn't anything else. And so, we can only live by faith beyond appearances in this present moment. So where is our world? Where is our world? Well, tonight, it's right within these four walls, isn't it? It's inside this home. So we have to love and deal with what's next to us, what's within us. Those people you have relationships with, that's your world. If they're not in front of you, it's none of your business to take it into you. It's not where you're at. You can't be outside of that. And that's where we need to practice the presence, right within our own relationships, with my relationship with my wife and those people that I touch when I go into work. I take that Father with me then without judgment and learn the patience of non-judgment, no matter what I see, no matter what I hear. And guys, I'm telling you, that's a lot of work just in itself. Why would you want to go outside of that for any reason? It's too much. And it's really none of our damn business. Really isn't. To invade other people's worlds and try to control the Father of love in them and think they need to be where we are. Right? That's really arrogance. And we even judge those of us who are teaching. I found my own self going outside my own kingdom because I see somebody and I want to drag them into my kingdom and it's not time for them. And I talked about this with Kay on the phone. You can't talk to an ego. And I found myself trying to do that just last week. And I'll tell you, you know how far I got? Nowhere. And I mean, it came at me just like barreling guns, you know. And the person I was trying to help them. I said kind words, but I tripped the ego. And boy, I'll tell you what, you get a diatribe. You say one word and I got a page response. Well, I knew what it was. And I had to withdraw and say, I'm sorry, I had no right to even ask you. We don't have a right to draw people in to our kingdom. As you go out, they'll be drawn to you.
Yes.
Just the other way around, right? And so when you're supposed to communicate, when you're supposed to talk to people, they'll usually come asking for the hope that's within you. And that's when it's the right time, when people are curious about who you are and feeling that love within you. And that's how Jesus said, I'm drawing all men unto myself. Why? How do we draw men unto ourselves, right? It said Jesus was judging the world in righteousness, right? He's not condemning, drawing all men to himself, not counting their sins against them. Not counting their sins against them. And your Father, which is who you are, is judging the world in righteousness and kindness and the people with equity and in uprightness. And he's doing it all the time. And once you get in friction with that, guess what? You're leaving your kingdom. Boom. You're outside your kingdom. I'm not saying this is easy, okay? But that's what we're doing. And if we don't understand that and understand when we leave our kingdom, right, then we'll just be out there yapping away just like they are, even if it's about truth. It can be about truth. So, you can only love the one you're with. It's a song. And we have to stop crying for a picture in your mind or a news broadcast. That's a picture. That projects a picture to you or the newspaper. We can't sit there and be crying for those things and have compassion for those things. It's none of our business. We have to trust that the Father, just like with us, is drawing them to himself. And we have to see that outside of time, outside of passing time. Because the Father within us, who is that love, is not controlled by anything. He is in everyone completely. And that's all he sees. And so is that what we're seeing? Why tempt yourself? Why put yourself in that position? When fear becomes your world, you bring down into your consciousness what you see and make it your own, whatever we see. It then becomes our world. And I had somebody was sharing, they said, well, this morning I'm going to pray for peace for the world. And do you know what happens when you make that statement? What's wrong with making that statement? There's no peace in your world. It's your world. You own it. And there's no peace in your world. So, out of this place, we find the birth of God. Not the Father that's within us. When we take upon ourselves the cares of this world, we form a God in our mind. And in Isaiah, the Father said, we form strange gods. Where does this place come from? We form a God the moment we aren't dwelling in a place where we're not satisfied. We've prayed to Him. We've asked Him to do things with our problems. How is that contentment? How is that dwelling in thankfulness? Because our fear, our prayers are filled with judgment. Something's wrong that needs to be fixed. But He says, you have all things for life and godliness already dwelling within you. Yeah. Boom. You leave your kingdom. I'm telling you, it's true. I've experienced it. I still experience that. I'm beginning to know the difference now so intimately that I know when my own tongue is speaking lies. And last week I was yelling at Him. I said, shut the hell up. And you know what? He quit talking. I said, I'm not listening to you anymore. It was just my mind spinning and going through this stuff. We've got a guy out at our lake. This happened to me when I was on the porch out at my lake the other night. There's this gentleman out there. It's our neighbor, and probably everybody has one. They always seem to show up. And this man is tormented about everything. He calls the township all the time. He's calling the police all the time. He's called so much that he's wearing them out. Okay? And he's turned us in for several things and just, you know, you can't do this and you can't park there and all this stuff. And we've just stayed away from him, you know, and just tried to speak to him when we can. But his head's down all the time in the dirt. You know, he is. He's going around like this. His head's in the dirt all the time with all of his problems. And I found, as I was staring out, we have this little easement between our two lake cottages out there. It's about 40 foot wide. And he drug his docks out, and he put this huge boat lift over on our corner of the property. And I sat there. And I was looking out at it, and I thought, now why is, I mean, he knows he's doing it. Why is he doing it? And I thought, I should go down and tell him, you know, why don't you move your boat left off our property? You know, we've got 800 foot of frontage. This boat lift's only 20 foot wide. And the Father said to me, isn't it okay? Would it be okay if it was your boat lift? And I said, yes. And it was gone. Judge your neighbors yourself. Judge your neighbors yourself. He's my neighbor. And it's okay if he parks his boat lift on my property. And I'm never going to approach him. Now, I've dealt with that year after year. He always puts it there. But it just, all of a sudden, it just came on to me as I looked at it. You know, it was sort of blocking my sunset. I thought, boy, it'd be nice if it wasn't there. That's how it started. Because it was sort of blocking my view of the sunset. I thought, shoot, I like my view. You know? Isn't that something? That little bitty thing, I just started spinning off of that, and it ended up into this judgment of the guy. And I just was still. He wasn't anywhere around. He knew nothing about this. And boom, it was over. Just that quick. It's okay. He can pull his truck in there, you know. We've dealt with it with our neighbor here several times, but you want to, who are you talking to? Who was I talking to? Myself? Playing the role of God? Because in my world, I don't want boat lifts on my property. Right? Yeah. That's what it was. And so, out of this place where we're not satisfied, we begin to form strange gods in our mind. We begin to seek and pray for something more in the appearance realm and for a deeper relationship with the remote God. Is our Father, our Papa, is He walking beside us and holding our hand? No. No. That's a relationship with something other. Right? That's a relationship with something else. That's not real oneness. And I don't even like to use the word oneness. Because you are the Father of love, manifest in the flesh. You're nothing else. And you'll have no other gods before you. Even you as a God who judges the world. That's a God. So we can play the role of God. And then we pray to gods. You've got the God of health and the God of wealth and the God of peace. And they're all strange gods. They're all strange gods. Because you're not at peace if you're praying to a God to bring peace to a world that you're judging. That becomes your world. You're not at peace, I'm telling you. Woe is me. This isn't good. And boom. So, when we believe these things, it's so subtle. He's remote to us. And we'll never find Him within us, as us. So why did our Father say in Isaiah, He said, why are you praying to strange gods that cannot save you? Why? He didn't say, well, you need to start praying to me. It's not in there. He said, why are you praying to strange gods that can't save you? He said it because you don't know deep within your own being as your only true self that you are the Father, and you'll have no other gods before you. That Father within you isn't a God that rules over anything. He's not a God that controls anything. He's a God of love. And when you realize love is in control, or when you realize love never controls, when you realize love never controls, love will be in control then. And that's what will motivate you when you go out. That's what motivates you. So I know that if all things for life and godliness dwell within me, all things, I no longer talk about or even make claims that there is a God doing this or a God doing that to me or to anyone else. We remove ourselves from those claims. We no longer talk about those gods anymore, and we certainly need to stop praying to them. Why do I say that? Because there's separation there. As soon as you do that, there's separation. It's still dualism. So a lot of times when we use words even, when we say, well, God is this. Even God is love. Well, how are you going to know it unless it's flowing out from you and you realize that that's all you are? And so I've said many times, there's only God, there's nothing but God. But it's really, there's only love and there's nothing but love. And you can't do anything about it. There isn't a God out there that needs our help. There isn't a God out there that we're supposed to do this and do that for. You walk then in a spontaneous love, right? in peace and kindness, right? And that begins to project out into those around you. And they'll be drawn to you. There's no question about it. People will be drawn to you when you're not judging them. When you see them the way you want to be seen. So we want to be seen that way for ourselves, but we can't see it in our neighbor when we say this is wrong and that's wrong and why did you do this and why did you do that and why did you put your boat lift on my property? We've got a guy back here that drives in our lawn, and we've been delivered from that, but it's a challenge for me when I see those people to withdraw into myself. I'm challenged them, and that's why it's good for you. We don't think it's good for us, but it's teaching you who you are. And you're becoming intimate with that life that's within you, that love that's within you. So if I know all things for life and godliness are within me, there's no list, there's no conditions to that. It's all things. It's not some things. It's not my version of all things even. Right? All these gods disappear. You've always been who you are. Always. You can never become what you already are. There's nothing you can do to make yourself something else. When the Father says to you, when he said to Moses, I am that I am, he said to Moses, I am what you are. He's saying to you, I am what you are. There's nothing else. There's nothing else but that I am, that Father. So when the Father says that to you, then you'll say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father in me. And this is what Jesus said. And he didn't count it robbery to make himself equal with God, because he knew he was the Father. Now, none of them saw it that were around him. They said, show us the Father. That's because they didn't know who he was. Well, I'm sure they would have liked to give him some kind of formula, or he was here on a throne, or this and that, right? But he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, if we've got a God, right, we can't go around saying we're God, because you're not God. There's really no such thing as God, as what we've used. And I was with Alan Newton, and he's discovered something that I was amazed by. And I asked him, I said, Alan, you've got to write this down. It just floored me. He studied Hebrew for 30 years, and he's become very intimate with the language. And when it comes out, I'll share it with you all. But he told us something when we were down at Dean Dosher's home this last weekend. And it just amazed me. And he said, I've discovered that there's a sixth letter in the Hebrew alphabet is called Vol, V-O-L. And he found in the Old Testament that the word God, throughout most of the Old Testament, had this sixth letter in it, which really meant man acting as a god. Isn't that something? Amazing. So amazing truth is going to be coming out of this that will help us understand, especially some of the things in the Old Testament, because it talks about a God that's killing babies and a God that's doing all this. That's not the Father that's within me. I don't know that God that hurts anyone. So man, acting as God, is the one doing all these things. See, that's where this wrath is at, right? And so, you are complete. You have all things within you. And once you have found yourself, your real self, you'll know you are the Father, and you'll have crucified all the gods, including yourself. That's why it says that you have to lose your life to find life. All the ideas you've had your whole life about yourself haven't been right. Our true self is this Father, and there's nothing else. And if you don't come to grips with that and understand that intimately, you'll have a God before you. And it could look just like you. And sometimes he has horns. Yeah, maybe more often than we'd like to admit. So, I've got to take a minute so I share this right. I was telling Kay I was struggling with words to try to share this with you the right way. But this next passage that I have in this paragraph is really, really good. And so, this is your kingdom. Close your eyes. Plug your ears. Turn off your TV and find yourself. This is your kingdom. It's within you and it's complete. And we don't have any business going outside of that kingdom to try to control or to judge. Right? The world does not need to be saved. It just needs to be saved from our judgment. It's the only thing it has to be saved from is our judgment. And you've got to see everyone as yourself. The Father of love is not prejudiced. Whatever's true for yourself has to be true about everyone right now. It has to be. And you have to come to grips with that so that you'll see your neighbor as yourself all the time. So, there's only one other thing you can do that can happen outside of who you really are in this moment. And that is you can begin to judge the appearances outside of yourself. That's the only thing you can do. This is your kingdom. We can bring the walls right in here, right? Right now we're trusting each other, that we're all knowing this truth, that we're here for a reason. You're all here because you're supposed to be here, because you're supposed to be hearing this message. Don't leave your kingdom. Don't go outside of your kingdom. So there's only one thing that you can do, is you can begin to judge the appearances. But remember, all this is happening outside yourself. It's all happening outside yourself, right? Is that, am I making sense? It's all happening outside your kingdom. And the moment you go out there and begin to judge for good or evil, you've left your kingdom. You've left it that quick. It could happen while you're going down the road. Because somebody does this or that, or they'll cut you off and you... I've learned to set on my hands, but I'm pretty good about it now, right? I haven't done that in a long time, right? Jesus said, I'm going to leave the world. It doesn't become your world until you begin to judge it. So the only thing you can do outside of yourself is to judge the hell out of things. And that's what it is. I'm just being honest. Hell and destruction are never satisfied. Hell and destruction are never full because the eyes of man are never satisfied. It's one of the most pure verses you can read. So we're going to learn how to stay within our kingdom so we then know our Father within us in an intimate way. that he's always, every moment, judging the world in loving kindness and righteousness. So the pure are what? See all things as pure. Right? Everything that comes to you, whatever you see in every person and every event, the only thing you can do is judge it in love and kindness and righteousness. Outside of that, it's none of your business. You don't want to leave your kingdom. And all that you need is within yourself. And it's never going to get out until we learn the difference of how to let that project out towards those things. And it might take some time for some of us to learn when we can walk out our door and enter into the world that we withdraw from judging from the world. We don't have to hide. But maybe it'd be good to go find a place remote somewhere for a while and practice the presence of who you are. So that you can, and at least know the difference. So our neighbor never heard a word I said. He never received any judgment, but I did. I was in turmoil a little bit. It didn't last real long. And the father said, well, that's your boat lift out there. That's yours. That's your neighbor. That's myself putting his boat lift on my property. It was wonderful. But I had to see it so I can again learn it. And we're going to continue to learn it. So when we move outside ourselves, where is it happening? You're just projecting it on the screen of your mind. That's all that's happening. It's your projection. It's just a picture you're projecting in your mind. And it's not reality. It's not even real. Reality is changeless. It's unconditional. It's love. It's kindness. And so the Father has made a statement out through us. So we think when Moses was standing there watching the burning bush that there was a big voice coming down. The voice was coming from within him. It was coming from within him. I am. I am. That I am. You better go bring him out. Go let him out. Let the goats out. They're social animals. And he's relentless. You probably do. Nothing can happen outside of yourself that you need to stick your nose in. So shut off your damn TV, turn off your computer and cell phone for a season to see if you can understand what I'm saying. Okay? Just try it. You'll like it. Okay? Mikey likes it. I like it. I like being at peace. I don't like being tormented. I don't. And thank God I'm seeing the difference. You know? And that's what we need to know. So the only thing that brings fear into our kingdom is when we look out upon things and see hell and destruction and see that there needs to be change upon the earth. But your Father sees the whole earth full of His glory. The whole earth, not some of it. The whole earth full of His glory. And He sees the fullness of Himself within every man. And that's all He sees. And if you're not in line with that, you're going to suffer. Okay? You will suffer. And you'll experience death. Right inside your own being. That's why He said to Adam, if you eat from this tree of judgment, you will surely die. And you're going to experience that same death. You're going to die spiritually to who you are. Amen. You'll die to it. It'll suffocate it. And so Your Father sees the whole earth full of His glory. He sees all the fullness of Himself within every man, and that's all He sees in every moment. And guess where He's at? It's all in there, folks. I love using the Ragu commercial. If you remember that, she opens the jar and says, "Son, it's all in there." And the Father's saying to you, "Son, it's all in there, and it's nothing but Me. I'm all you are. There's nothing else. There's nothing more." Is the earth full of the glory of God? Do we see the glory of God in everyone, or are we going to judge the hell out of them? Huh? Which is it? Huh? You got a list at home? And so, if it's outside of me, and I want you to hear this, if it's outside of me, it has nothing to do with me. Unless I begin to travel outside myself and begin to try to reach down to an unknown God and judge the world. It's none of our business how the Father of love is working Himself out in every man. It's none of your damn business. Just keep your hands off. Because He's doing it. He said, "I will draw all men unto Myself." All men. From the least to the greatest, they'll all know Me. And if you withdraw from your judgment of passing time, you'll see it. You'll see it now. It's right now. That's unbelievable truth. It's all true in this moment. If it isn't true in this moment, it never will be true for you. Ever. It has to be true right now. So we begin now. We're going to begin to leave the world of little faith and put off our former conversations. Because we've had a lot of them. I've had my own. I had one in my mind out there. There was nobody around me. My wife wasn't with me. It was just me spinning in my mind, experienced a little dose of hell, and it burnt me, and I didn't like it. And I walked right away from it. The Father said within me, "That's your boat lift out there. If I see Him as Myself, that's My boat lift. And it sure ought to be the hell okay to put my boat lift on my own property, shouldn't it? That ought to be okay." And instantly I was at peace again, just instantly. That's a great exercise. This just happened a few days ago. So I'm with you. You can be honest with me. We can all be honest. We don't have to hide behind a veil. We can all be honest. Share your experiences with yourself and with the others. Confess it, showing your humility, okay? I'm not any different than you. I'm not special. We are ourselves. We are one body. There's no separation there, okay? You are Myself. And if I can't judge you as Myself, I'll never know My Father within, because He said, you've got to love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you've got to judge your neighbors yourself, and it's one command. You can't know this Father of love inside you if you're judging your neighbor. You can't. And so where do you fall? You're not satisfied. You're in a realm of hell and destruction where there's gnashing of teeth. Right? I mean, it's going on everywhere. Right? So, as we put off the former conversations and enter into this secret place of the Most High, this place where absolute faith dwells. It's an invisible place of no judgment. We no longer judge by the appearances. We find but one Father within us, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Now it said all things. So you can only find all things within you. And you leave all things when you put conditions on it. With our tongue, with our problems. So, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be what? The glory forever. You can experience glory forever right now. And you can learn, as you identify when your tongue begins speaking lies, this father of lies, right here, you'll learn to put the shut to the up. Right? I love that phrase. Hope I'm not stealing any of your thunder, Kay. Can I quote you on that? Just put the shut to the up. I'm going to say it nice tonight. I'm not going to be bad. Does he not work all things for our good unto his glory? I just read it to you. Does he not work all things in your life unto our glory? Everything, whether in heaven or on earth. If you want to judge something, there's one thing you can judge. I'm going to give you permission tonight to judge one thing. That's you need to judge the level of contentment you're experiencing in your life. That's the thing you need to judge, and you need to be honest with yourself. How often are you content? I've got a brother, I love him to death. He can sit down at a beautiful meal, and there's one little thing wrong, and we hear about it. Yeah, we've done it. The whole thing was perfect, but the potato was cold. Can we be thankful for what's set in front of us, even with that little simple thing? Whatever's set in front of us, to be thankful? All things are permissible. You don't have to hand out a menu to somebody. So, well, this is the only thing I eat, you know. And I'm not saying you got to eat stuff you're allergic to, but I go in someone's home. I was at Dean Dosher's home. I ate some peas I've never eaten in my life before. So I gobbled them down, you know, and I had some more. I didn't say I took a lot. I didn't hog myself on them. You know, I don't even know what they're called down south. It was a pea. It wasn't the peas I know about. No, he didn't. They didn't call them that. They called them field peas or something, or garden. I don't know. They were brown. No, it wasn't. I don't know what it was, but it was okay. I didn't jump up and down, but I wasn't going to complain either. Exactly. There you go. I posted something on Facebook the other day. I was sitting outside on my balcony, and when we used to go to the Dahlem Center out here, there's a big group of bird watchers, and they've got it in for the sparrows because they're a foreign bird to the U.S., they say. And I mean, there's sparrows everywhere. And they would try to capture them and actually kill them in these screens because they wanted to preserve the other birds that they were trying to find. And these sparrows actually will go in and peck the heads in of bluebirds, you know, so they're sort of ornery. And the father said to me, he said, the sparrow's the most beautiful bird. That something? So it's the most beautiful bird. How would you know what the other one looked like if there wasn't any contrast? Mm-hmm. Is that something?
It's the only bird that he talks about in the scripture.
Yep, the sparrow. And then he said to me, the color you like the least is what makes the color, it's what gives the color you like the most its beauty. And so what is it? It's prejudice, isn't it? You see, he was talking to me about prejudice and about a little thing. Well, why can't I like orange? Why can't it be my favorite color? My least favorite color is gray, especially in Michigan. But the light that we are contains all the colors. It contains every color, and it's called a rainbow. And they're all in it. All of them are in it. So we're coming into our oneness when we see that all things, that the gray is just as beautiful as the orange, just as beautiful as the red, and without it you wouldn't know orange was beautiful. You wouldn't even know it. If everything was the same, this is why we're all different expressions. If we all looked the same, we'd be really bored. Right? So there needs to be diversity. There needs to be all these colors. There needs to be all these birds. And they're all beautiful. So, and I want to talk a little bit about why there's a need for struggling, why there's a need for suffering in our life. I said Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. And if I'm taking the road of Christ, which we must experience, everything must be shaken that's not of him, so that I may know who I am and experience in a real way all of those things that can't be moved in my life. All of those things that are solid and can't be moved. So I see it as necessary. I see the struggle as more of a purging and a shaking of those things that can be moved. And what's it going to do? It's going to remove the judgment from your life. That's what it's going to do. So that you can walk around in peace and harmony within yourself. And then see that within your neighbor. They might not be experiencing it in front of you. But as if you see it, if you know that person in front of you is yourself driving that car, we can be courteous to them and give way. We can yield instead of hit the gas. Right? Huh? I've been practicing that because I drive around a race car. It's my car that I drive back and forth to work. It's got 700 horsepower. And I haven't been using it very much lately. It's fast. But what am I in a hurry for? Where do I need to go? I can only be where I'm at. You know, how can you get ahead of yourself, right? Because that's what we do a lot when we're anxious, right? Be anxious for nothing. And I've really learned to, even in the last couple months, I've learned to enjoy driving better. Realize, you know, I can't. I've been doing better for a long time, honey. When she first met me, I was awful. But that was 20 years ago. So yeah, we're thankful that that's changing. So we've thought, all of us have thought this, that we're not supposed to be suffering or struggling. But you're going to continue to suffer until you're not afraid of it anymore. And I've been through a really difficult time with my business. And I've learned that I'm not afraid of what I'm going through anymore. But all the suffering brought me up to that point where I could learn to be content with what was in front of me. I've told the story enough, but it has to do with lots and lots of money. A lot of money. And I've never struggled too much with this in my life. I've always been an entrepreneur and been successful at whatever I put my hand to. But we're going through a time right now in the business where there's a big transformation going on. And it's been a financial struggle. And I've learned, I can say in front of you, that I've learned that I'm not afraid of it anymore because the Father knows what he's doing in me. And it's for me. It's for me. It's for me. So you're going to continue to suffer until you're not afraid of it anymore. And then the fear will be gone. So you begin to suffer until you realize that all things are for you, not against you. All things are for your reward. And so to the pure, all things are pure. No matter what it appears like, no matter what comes in front of you, it's there to teach you. And when friction or struggling begins to come in play, it's the time for you to withdraw inside yourself and say, Father, teach me your ways. What is it I need to learn, instead of try to just pray away the struggle to an unknown God? Boy, talk about hell and high water. Yeah. So I trust in my life that I've come unto my own righteousness. And what do I mean by that? I'm saying that the steps of the righteous are ordained of the Lord. Now, if I can't believe it for my whole life, 58 years now, I've been walking on the face of this earth, and it doesn't matter how long you've done it or how old you are, but in my experience, it's been 58 years. If I can't see or remove my shoes of wrong understanding and see that I'm standing on holy ground and that I've always been standing on holy ground, I won't be delivered. And what happened when this came to me is I found I was no longer judging my history for good or evil. That every step that I've taken in my life has been ordained to bring me into this moment. And it delivers you from your own judgment of your past. And you really have no history. You have no history. There's no such thing as time. No such thing as passing time. So I experience then my sanctification, my justification, and my righteousness of my whole life then. My whole life. Because I realized then that I've always been righteous. I just didn't know it.
That's right.
I've always been righteous. I just didn't understand it. And when I see my righteousness as my Father within sees me, then it goes back and swallows everything up that I ever thought about myself. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. Swallows it up. And now I can look out and trust that he's seeing that in every other person, in all of you. And so I'm here to be for you, not against you, and certainly not to judge you from anything that's happened in your past, as recently as last week, or 20 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 5 minutes ago. You can be set free the moment you come into yourself and realize you can never be more holy than you are right now. Because he is your holiness. And that's all you are. You can't be anything else. And if you try to be, you're going to struggle. And you're going to kick against the pricks. It doesn't feel good. If you think about that, it doesn't feel very good. So what is it? I'm no longer judging myself for what, good or evil, in my past. I'm not saying, but that was good and that wasn't good. I'm not judging myself for it. And until you can see that for yourself, it's going to be pretty hard to see it in someone else. And vice versa. Because if you're looking at myself and you, and I judge you by it, I'm judging myself again, aren't I? Because we're one. Body, I have to love you as myself. So I realized that every step I ever took was ordained in love to bring me to this day. So I judge myself in loving kindness and righteousness for my steps. And I began to do that for all the world and find my peace there, and my joy there, and my contentment there. I come into wholeness then. But I have to see that for myself. I see it in every man. And then I see the whole world full of the glory of God. The whole world is full of the glory of God. Can I trust that for every man walking on the face of the earth? Because if I can't trust it for them, I can't know it for myself. Right? You see how beautiful that is? How that delivers us, brings us into oneness. The Father is working himself out in every other person here, every other person outside this room. He's doing it, right? He's drawing them unto himself. And if we escape our judgment of time and space, we know it's already done. He sees everyone complete right now. He sees everyone as righteous right now in this moment. That's a beautiful thing to see, if you can get a glimpse of it. That's what he's seeing, and that's who you are. So we must get in line with ourselves, right? To be at peace and contentment all the time. To be at joy all the time. And so now we look out into the world and view the activities of the world. We must withdraw and return to a consciousness of righteousness. Jesus said, "My Father judges no man." Who's your Father? Who's your Father within you? Is he judging men for good or evil? Who's your Father? Is it the Father of lies, or is it this Father that's continually judging the people in uprightness and loving kindness all the time? And you'll begin to release it then. It'll begin to flow out of your body like rivers of living water. There it is. There it came. Rivers of living water and non-judgment. So it can only come from within as I see myself as the Father of love, and then the whole earth is full of the glory of that Father. So who are the righteous then? Because it's when we've read that before, we've made it conditional. Who are the righteous? Those who see the whole earth full of the glory of the Father of love, without judgment or desire for peace in a world, for your Father sees everyone righteous. But do we see all the people righteous? Are they? Do we see that? So in Isaiah it says, "The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself." And it's really our judgment of different days. See, when we're in this place, we no longer judge the days. I sort of like the weekends better, but I'm finding now the day I like the least is Monday when I've got to go into my office. You know what? It's all becoming one for me. Because I like to be by myself and meditate and know who I am, because the Father speaks to me in quietness. And I've learned that he's speaking to me even in noise now. If I'll just withdraw and hold my tongue and listen and let the roar calm down and wait for wisdom to flow, it'll come out if I'll be patient. And it's one of the reasons I don't really like questions, especially when we're sharing, because I'm not the Bible answer man. But I know that that Father within me has the answers, and I'll wait for him then. Because I love you, I want to give you an answer that's true and honest, and is for you, not something I'm pulling off the hip just because I want you to think I know something, because I don't know anything. But what I do know is that Father within me, and I'm learning to listen to him. I'm learning to listen to that, not some ego stuck in between my ears, right? And so the days all become one then, and that's what it's talking about here. The sun shall no more go down. There won't be any difference anymore. And the moon will withdraw itself, for the Lord thy Father shall be thy everlasting light. And the days of thy mourning will be ended. How? When you see everyone as yourself in righteousness and true holiness. And it says in the verse, thy people shall be all righteous, all of them. And then, when you come into this, you will inherit the land forever, because the branch of his planting and the work of his hands is glorified in you. Thank you. I'm glad you're all here. It's good to be with you. So, hello out there, everyone. We will see you tomorrow morning at 9:30. Kay's going to be with us. We're going to be doing some singing. We might start a little bit before that. So we'll see you in the morning. Bye.